loudest person in the room.
Dean tells me you're still the champ.
I don't know that I need this, but we need it for the recording. Oh, okay. So we have a couple scriptures I'm going to read with you. This one will be out of the Amplified, Matthew 5:37. Let your yes be simply yes, and your no be simply no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one, the deceiver. Ephesians 1:15-7. I found the wordiest translation I could find so I could talk more. Since I first heard about your strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your tender love toward all his devoted ones, my heart is always full and overflowing with thanks to God for you as I constantly remember you in my prayers. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling, that is, the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. And now, he is exalted as first above every ruler, authority, government, and realm of power in existence. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age that is coming. And he alone is the leader and source of everything needed in the church. God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ and has given him the highest rank above all others. And now we, his church, are his body on the earth, and that which fills him who is being filled by it. And his fullness fills you. Even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins and offenses. It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, customs, and values of the world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm, who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children, subject to God's wrath like everybody else. But God still loved us with such great love. He's so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. My prayer just right now is heaven come. Thank you, Jesus.
Are you? I don't have a place to put that.
You're wearing something flowing too.
I know. I didn't think about
so many people. Have y'all seen how many people are wearing like flowing things? It's either pathetic or we're all bloated.
Passion. That was the Passion translation, in case you're wondering.
Okay, you should have gotten a handout, this commitment worksheet. So if you didn't get one, Marisa has them, and she's glad to come to you. Just bring one again. And if anyone, I think we have a couple of seats left, so we're good. Okay. Let me get my Bible open here. I feel like that passage the passage that's grounding our teaching this morning and that she just read is almost incomprehensible.
Yeah.
I mean, it is far beyond what we have let our minds grasp.
Yes.
There aren't words, and I'm going to try this morning, but it's really this ridiculous reality of our lives. And I remember a time in my life reading things like that, and literally, it's like it just didn't even compute. And there's a reason for that, and I want to just really basically tell you why it didn't compute for me, if it's helpful for you at all. And it's still, I'm asking the Lord to make it compute for me, because it's so huge and so powerful, and if it's really true, which I believe, of course, 100% it is, it means radical things for our lives. It just means the most radical, most extraordinary things for our lives. And it's really the heart of what we are asking God to do, and we're asking God to do it because we feel like he's put it on our heart. I really feel like it's what he's asking us to do. He's asking us to take a look in this season at who you actually are. Your purpose, like Ashley spoke to last week, your purpose is set. You were made to bring God glory. You were made in his image. How that happens, the actual unique call and callings of God on your life, that's going to be so different for each one of us. Some things will look similar, some things will look radically different. And the big part of our, as a leadership team, our heart is that this is a really deep conversation for a semester for you with the Lord. I can't have your conversation and you can't have mine. For you and the Lord to say, what have you called me to in this season? And what do you want me to know about the unique gifts within me and the unique call on my life? And it really matters. It really matters that everybody gets a hold of it, because God wants to display his glory in the earth. And for some crazy reason, he decided to attach it to us. He could just make the whole earth full of his glory, but he's brilliant. And somehow he decided that he would let his fame and his renown be seen through your life, and that would actually bring him great glory. And he's actually willing to let his name get tarnished because of us. And he's actually willing to share the beauty of who he is with us. Yes. It's this great mystery. Yes. It's almost too good to be true, because it's not even something that's hard. But apprehending it maybe in our hearts is maybe the hardest part. And so that's what I want to start with. And of course I start talking and I can't find where I am. But here we are. Ephesians 1. And now that I found it, I'll probably not look back at it at all. Joni, can you help me? In that drawer, there's a black marker for this board. Okay, this is something we talked a lot about like 8 years ago or 9 years ago when we started WAG, which was the original Awake. And it was something that we knew the Lord was breathing on, and it was really important, at least for me, that he was teaching my heart about it. I think it's a key of understanding not just a mental knowledge of the gospel, but a lifestyle of what does it mean to live in Christ? What does it mean to have our being in Christ Jesus? What does it mean to live a life full of the Spirit? Because I will tell you that the little box that I grew up in about it, and this wasn't anybody's fault, but you know, we're all growing in our understanding of things. Mine personally had a lot of restraints on it for myself that I adopted. So, you know, my territory, this is kind of my life. I really thought the life of faith was one of shouldn'ts. No's, bads, and I don't know, off limits. And really what it was there was and still I struggle with this. It's really a voice of shame and fear that I'm not enough and that I've disappointed God. that everybody else has figured it out, but really me, I'm the fake. That is really, that's really pre-gospel. It's a really normal state of being. There's a lot of things that can be attached to that. It's, I'm all alone, not enough. If, you know, I'm a fake, whatever those little lies are that tell us who we're not, this is who I'm not, but somehow is defined by it. This is also knows, you know, I put that over here, but I'm kind of going to highlight it. The picture for me is that here I am, and to be a good Christian, I need to be incredibly aware that I am a sinner, bad, and in need. You just heard it in scripture. This was true. I'm apart from the Lord, I am nothing. But the gospel is that in Christ, we are not these things. So it's not that I never sinned, it's that I was never actually defined by it.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't have it to put in me when I was born, it's not who I am. And as moms, we get this, right? And the minute that baby is born, or even as aunts or as people with compassion, we get this. We see the beauty of God displayed in the earth through people. And no doubt, sin enters the picture. Brokenness, hurt enters the picture. And because of hurt, people make horrible choices and hurt each other. But this is not who they are. And so I think a pre-gospel understanding of identity is rooted in the things that we are not, and it makes it our identity. Well, I'm just this, I'm not that, I'm in need. Well, sure, I'm in need, but it's not my identity. Sure, I may have big issues, but it doesn't actually define me. So a pre-gospel understanding of yourself is like, the scripture says, it's like dragging this old dead body of sin along with us. So there's like a chain. And we've come to faith in Christ. We know Jesus. We've apprehended a mental knowledge of him, maybe. I believe in Jesus. But my functional reality is I really believe in me, the sinner. So I'm dragging this dead body of sin. And it's weighty. This lifestyle is hard. And then I'm constantly scolding myself for not getting it right and being more like Christ, being better, getting over my issues, because I'm living on this side of the cross. There's parts of this that are all true, but it's in light of the gospel of Jesus. The gospel says that his love was so much greater than every single boundary, every single false identity, every single wrong thing that I've ever done, every single broken piece of me is not stronger than his love. And if I think that it is, that's actually where you have a God complex. If you think that your stuff, your sin, your negative things that you've been identified with is too much, so much so that Jesus couldn't set you free from it, then that's really putting your junk in the place of God. And it's not. It's actually, there's just no comparison. Anything you're walking with that's broken, any part of you that feels hurt and is acted out in that, is just not enough to separate you from the love of God expressed in Christ Jesus. Paul says nothing in heaven or hell can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing in heaven or hell. That's a huge statement. So what I want to help us think about, especially in relation to our yes, our no, and our callings, and that falls under our greater purpose, is the yeses and the no's get to occupy this side of the cross where we've been raised to life in Christ and we are new creations. It says the old is gone. We don't have to drag this dead body of sin around with us anymore. And we are no longer identified with these things. They literally are not allowed to identify us any longer. So this is just dead and gone. And it's not because of anything you did. It's not because you proved anything to anyone. It's just a gift of grace. And this, like I said earlier, is hard. When you're trying to live faith from this orientation, your faith life will suck. It will be very hard. It will be plagued with fear. Shame will speak very loudly. Guilt is the driver. And it can get super religious and judgmental. Mostly judgmental at yourself. And then that'll just spill over to everyone else. So this is not a fun thing. This is actually death. And it's also really hard to see sometimes. It's like a cycle where we're just going around. I should be better, but I'm not. I should be better, but I'm not. This is works orientation, and it has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is so beautifully explained in Ephesians 1 and 2. So if you're going, okay, this makes sense, and I need to hear this more, please read this out loud over yourself. Because Deborah just said all of this in a very different way, and Paul, beautiful. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of this kingdom, the spirit who's now at work in those who are dead. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh. The cravings of your flesh are not doing bad things. The craving of your flesh is to live from an identity of I am bad. If you've ever heard Brene Brown talk about shame, you know, shame says not just I did a bad thing, but I am bad. And this, to me, is a total assault on you being made in the image of God. Yeah. It's a total assault on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus says there is no condemnation. So this will feel like condemnation and accusation. And you'll see it rear its ugly head. You know it says condemnation and accusation. So this, what does this lifestyle look like? And I want to look at this. We're going to take a little bit of a break from this idea of gospel and just look at your daily commitments. So each week of this semester, we're going to give you something that we hope you can take home and use and talk about with the Lord. Last week was Strength Finders. We just encourage you to do it. And I'm sorry, I didn't realize there wasn't a good free version. There's a $19 version. Nothing else that we ask you to do will be paid. Do it if you want to or not. But this, the commitment worksheet that you have, what does it have to do with anything? Well, it has a lot to do with a lot of things, because I'm praying that whatever we do up here actually transforms and affects your life. So we could all agree with whatever's set up here and think it was really good, but if the only thing that happens is that we then go, gosh, I think I want to hear that speaker again, it makes me really disappointed, because I really want this to be practical. And I know that's Ashley's heart too. She really wants the application to mean something. So what I want you to do is, I'm just going to walk you through this for a minute. Says, think about the way you actually spend your time all 24 hours. So like, that's going to include sleep, it's going to include eating, and then the way that you use your time. And first let me say, this is not an exercise in judgment or self-condemnation. This is an exercise in just becoming aware of how we're actually living in the world. I know that sometimes I think I spend my time one way, and when you actually add up the hours, I'm spending it a totally different way, which then tells me what my actual priorities are, or what I feel that I should, ought, need to do. And we want to move out of being driven at all by shoulds and oughts and the things that are on this side of the cross, and start to be driven truly by the face-to-face voice of the Lord that you have full access to because Jesus died for you. So that's what this is for. So you're going to ask Jesus, and again, when you're doing any self-reflection, don't ask yourself. Ask Jesus, because he actually knows the depth of your heart. So it's a prayerful act, but you don't have to do it like this. I'm having a conversation with the Lord. He speaks to us in a still, small voice that sounds a lot like your thinker. The gospel is that you are never alone. The gospel is that he died so that nothing can separate you from his love. That means you are not alone up here. You are not in a monologue. You are in a dialogue. And so it means a lot of your good ideas, you're taking credit for, and I'm so glad you agreed with them, but they were probably God's. You know, that little nudge of like, hey, call your friend. I don't just have a thought to call your friend, and then you call them, and they're like, oh my gosh, you called at just the right time. Well, that was not you, and yet it was, because the Spirit of God fills you. That was you hearing God's voice. If you ever have had a desire to worship, if you're here, you had a desire to worship, 100% you've heard his voice. No one can come and worship God apart from the Spirit of God's drawing. So you're doing great. Any little voice that's telling you I'm not doing enough, it's lying to you. It's accusation and condemnation just aren't his voice. But the thing that is his voice is the thing that brought you here. The thing that is his voice is the thing that's drawn you to be loving in the world. The thing that is his voice is the deep desires of your heart. And here's why. You can find the most selfish person and get them beyond their wounds, beyond their masks, beyond their walls, and ask them what they really want in their heart, and it will not be selfish. Try it. The worst person in the world, if you can actually get beyond all the things they put up, everybody wants to do something that's full of purpose and good for the world. Nobody actually wants to live for themselves. Why? Because Jesus spoke you into being at creation and he didn't mess up. We didn't wreck it with sin. Sin is a big mess and we're always going to be learning how to step out of it and into life. But God didn't mess up on you. He made you. He created you. So when you do this, this is not an exercise in condemnation. This is also just becoming aware of whether the way you're spending your time is actually in alignment with the things that he's really put in your heart. So this is an important thing to do, and gosh, I really am in a place where I need to do it. I know that in a lot of ways I'm functioning in the gifts and the call and on my life, but there's some things that are deeper still. And some of those things are deeper still and way deep down there because they're going to come out in another season, but some of those things are percolating. And he's going, if you'll slow down and pay attention and value those dreams that I put in your heart, you and I are going to go and do these things. They're not there because you just want attention. I don't, genuinely. They're there because I put them in you. And they're not bad. And if I put them in you, I really will equip you to do them. So here I'm just going to put, and I love, this is my favorite picture of all time, the loving heart of Jesus. The things that are on the resurrected side of the cross, which is the life that we've been given to live, his heart is shared with ours. That's the simplest way I know how to talk about oneness. Jesus died to give us oneness with him. It's such a crazy concept, it's almost hard to like even start to go down the road. I mean, it really is. Like, what does a life of oneness with God actually look like? Does it look like these things? There's no way. It can't look like these things. It looks like something else. So when you go through this, talk to Jesus about it. I got distracted on that. But my point being, you do hear God's voice. So if you have that little voice saying, well, I don't really know if I've heard his voice, that's a lie. You have. And we exist as Christ Healing Center to help you hear God's voice. We love that. It's our favorite thing to do. We do it with everyone who comes here, especially if you come for a personal prayer or come to one of the corporate prayer times. It's easy because he made you to do it. He made you to hear his voice. So don't even worry about that. But you can talk to him. He's in your thoughts already. So just start to pay attention and ask him to show you how he speaks to you, to show you what his voice sounds like. And his voice will sound like the overarching story of Scripture, and it will sound like Jesus. So if you need to check it, you're totally safe to check it within this overarching story of Scripture, which is the redemption of God and the reconciliation and the restoration of all things. The end is that the earth looks like heaven. It's not that the earth explodes and we all die in judgment. That's not what Revelation says. There's hope. There's more. There's just so much hope. Okay, and then the last page here. Once you do the front page, what do I mean by what are the things that you're most committed to? I want you to look at the reality of the way you spend your time, and I want you to realize that a commitment is something that you have chosen to give your yes to. And it may be something that you've actually given your no to. So the yes and no's are commitments. And the thing I want to emphasize is that these are yours, your yes, and your no. And here's the thing. If you've chosen to give your yes, which is powerful, your commitment to these things, you are going to struggle with feeling the resurrected power of Christ living through your life. And if you've actually given a no to the resurrected power of life, like, no, I'm too far this, or I haven't done enough this, or whatever judgment you want to make on yourself that's apart from the gospel of Jesus and the grace, the notchy, beautiful, rich, lavish grace of Christ, then these things, all of a sudden, wanting to flow in your calling and your purpose is going to feel stuck. It's going to produce disappointment. I think you talked about that last week. It's going to disconnect you from your appointment in life if you're giving your yes to things that Jesus said have already died and your no to things that he said you're alive in. Mm-hmm. So what we want to do is look at the power of your yes and your no for your actual life. And I'm really not talking about what you believe about life, because what you believe actually comes out in how you live. You can say to me all day long that you think certain things about life, but show me your life, show me your checkbook, show me your time, show me what you value, and it's a functional thing about what we actually worship. And again, I don't say in condemnation, I say it to say, take back your yes and take back your no. And this is an awesome day to think about this, to take this, take it to a quiet place. It'd be very Jewish to take it to a river today, because today is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It's the highest holy day in Judaism. Jesus absolutely would have been doing everything that Jews did on this day. Jesus did actually really cool things on this day, and I'm not going to go into it, but I will say that today is a day where we recognize, and this is true in Judaism and Christianity, that the commitments that we have made are up for renewal. Today is a day that we pause, and if you have Jewish friends, some of them will even go to synagogue 5 times today to pray. They will be fasting, and they will not take showers until tomorrow, I think, and they'll have an amazing feast tomorrow, but today is a day not of self-flagellation. It's actually a day of grace, where they go, okay, I committed to this year. I committed to be a really good friend. And for the last 10 days, this last 10 days of all, they've been looking at that and going, you know what? I was a good friend in this way, but I didn't live up to my commitments in this way. And what this day is actually about is release. Going, it is atonement. Now, we know that Jesus literally made atonement. He is the only one who can actually free us from it. Because if I just, in my own effort, try to like be like, oh, it's okay, Case, you weren't the best friend this year, but you can try again next year. I'm just probably spinning my wheels for the most part. But if on this day of atonement, we really go, you know what, God? I've given some yeses that I don't even want to give. It's not my heart. It's not my passion. It's stealing my joy. I didn't even talk to you about it. This is a day to literally get out from under them as if they had become a burden. Because he doesn't want you to live with a chain. He wants you to live empowered by his spirit and your yeses. So how do you know if you're empowered by his spirit and your yeses? They won't always be easy, but there will be ease on them. It won't always just be a clear pathway, but the Lord will make it clear. He will do the heavy lifting. So I may not be able to see what's in front of me, but it's the path that he goes, I let your next step. There it is. Take it. He's so good at going before, because what's happening when your yes is in alignment with his yes for you in this season is that he literally is the way, the truth, and the life in it. Practically. Functionally. He will not fail you. If there's certain things that I've given my no to, I know for me for a long time, I would not speak. I think as a child made a vow that I would not open my mouth. And a lot of people thought it wasn't so much that I didn't open my mouth, but people would always say, oh, she's so shy. Oh, she's so quiet. I think up until third grade, I barely talked to anyone unless it was one-on-one. And then I really did make a vow too that I would not speak his word. I loved the Lord and his spirit moved in me, But I was afraid of myself. And so I literally was like, I'm not gonna do this. So I gave my no to something that was in me. And that does not feel good. It feels literally like living water inside of you that's stilted. And then we end up looking more like the Dead Sea that has many rivers flowing in but no outlet, rather than the Sea of Galilee that has tributaries that flow in and out and it's healthy. So is there something that you've said no to that the Lord's going, hey, I'm putting this on your heart? And you'll know it's not going to be something that comes out of guilt, condemnation, fear. But it may feel risky and need some faith. But it's not going to feel like, oh, that's not me. Because it will actually ring true with the deep desires in your heart that are good, that are God, that are part of the call on your life. There are also maybe things that you need to say no to. You're going, God, I should have said no to this 6 months ago. Please know that as an organization and a group community and a group of women, if you've ever said yes to something at Christ Healing Center and the Lord is calling you elsewhere, we're never going to shame you for that. We're going to go, yay, praise God. He's making your way clear. We're going to bless you and send you. We're not going to operate from a lack mentality. Lack is over here. And for fear of lack, we often say the wrong yeses and the wrong noes instead of the right yeses and the right noes. The gospel of Jesus says you have all you need. There will be no lack. I get that you may not see the provision for this thing, but if he's on it and he's calling you to it, there will not be a lack. So he's calling you to take a step of faith, take a little risk, and that may feel nerve-wracking, and that's okay, but if it feels nerve-wracking because it's making you sick and making you fearful and making you feel not who you are, that's this kind of thing. This one is full of provision and life, and of course it's going to be scary sometimes when we say yes to new things. I'm going to pull out my phone really fast. I took notes in here in the middle of the night. There's two scriptures in the Psalms that say, to talk about hope, I mean, there's a ton of them, but the two that were really on my heart in the last couple days for us are that hope deferred makes the heart sick. I'm sorry, this is so ugly, y'all. But on this side of the gospel, hope gets deferred. And it really does give us a sick heart. And for a long time, I thought that was just kind of okay with God. And the more I know how kind and loving he is, the more I know that the number one thing he hates is when my heart feels sick. He loves to come and go, hey, I died to give you a whole heart. I died to bring health and healing to your heart more than anything, because your body I can heal, and it will fade away, and I'll give you a new one in eternity. But your heart is your heart for eternity, and I care about it. So hope deferred makes the heart sick. But hope fulfilled is a fountain of life. So our prayer in this journey is that the things, the hopes that are in your heart, that you don't dismiss them and beat yourself up about them in this season, that you literally take God up on the gospel of grace and say that one of his favorite words is hope, and he actually commands us to be filled with it. So what are the things in your life that you are hoping for that you need to let him bring you to a place of being full of it and filled with it so that it can be a fountain of life for you? I don't know. Look it up, because they're just in my head and I didn't have time to look them up.
Okay.
I want to erase this, and while I do that, I want you to take a minute to just start filling out this little commitment sheet, and then we're going to pray together.
Yeah.
And Lord, I ask you to just help us know our own hearts, bring to mind freedom to be honest and freedom to look at ourselves without judgment and condemnation, because that's how you do it. And will you help us understand the way of our heart? Okay, I just made a chart if it's helpful. This is kind of what I was trying to say, but I didn't get it all out there. It's helpful to recognize the markers of what's driving the way that you are in the world. So from the place of intimacy with Jesus, where I have full access to the face of God and the throne room of grace, where, like Ephesians says, I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ, that's literally your heart's position. You're not, we've said this a lot in here, but you're not trying to get to God. Jesus made a way for you to be seated with him in heavenly places. So you're not trying to get love, you're living from love. You're not trying to get worthiness, you're living from worthiness. And it's not because of anything you did, it's because he loves you. So from that place, that's called the kingdom of God. From that positional place of love, you're loved, you're worthy, you're known, you're seen, you have access. From that place, love compels, hope fulfills, faith, risk, and trust are a big piece of this, and it's led by Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. You move and make commitments. Let your yes be yes and your no be no around understanding your gifting, understanding your unique season, and understanding what God's calling you to from that place of intimacy and the face-to-face. And you're relationship-driven from a place of connection to God. Very different than being relationship-driven from a place of insecurity, self-judgment or others' judgment, comparison or competition. This drives us often, and we don't even realize it. When it does, it's literally just bringing you down a path that's going to feel dead for you. Who knows what it's doing to the people around you, but for you, it'll feel dead. This is something that's hard for us to understand because mentally, we have often lived from a place of God doesn't drive us by desire or joy, and it's just not true. Science shows that when a mother and a baby look in each other's eyes, or a father and a baby look in each other's eyes, when a mom's nursing or when there's that skin-to-skin contact, it's releasing a hormone of joy in the baby's brain, which is the best builder for the brain. Joy is the best builder chemically for anything. And joy is like the driver for life in the kingdom. So your joy is legitimate. And paying attention to the desires, and I'm not talking about the wounded desires, I'm talking about the deeper desires, the thing underneath the wounding. Those desires, ask him about them, because I promise you he's going to affirm you and say, no, that's me. That's good. And if it comes from joy, don't red flag that as bad. That's living a false upside down gospel rather than an upside down kingdom. The kingdom of God functions differently than the kingdom of the world. The kingdom of the world functions like this. Well, I should say yes to that. I've been asked 3 times. Oh, I'd really love to do that, but I really, you know, I just can't right now. I've got all these other things going on. I really should. I just ought. This is what I ought to be doing. And so we actually feel slightly validated because we think, and if I polled you and I asked you, what are the shoulds and oughts of life? There's no way we would all have the same ones. Everybody in here is going to have a different should and a different ought, and then we're going to judge ourselves and others based on our shoulds and oughts that no one else shares with us. So it is like a trap. Of course you shouldn't kill anyone. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about all your little rules for your life, and I know those little rules because I have them in mind, but they actually make us miserable. Carrie and I were talking a lot about this. We would love for before every single event that happens here, everything's set up an hour ahead of time, and we get there and get to worship and have an amazing time. But the reality of our life is that sometimes we come in here 10 minutes before and nothing's set up and we've got to move all the chairs. And we can either sit there and get frustrated and let it build tension and anger and anxiety in my neck, or I can just go, okay, in my mind, my should just got violated, but the reality is, it is what it is. Here we are, and I get to set up chairs with Carrie. Awesome. But shoulds and oughts really will wreck your life and cause stress. I already mentioned this one, but this is huge. Just ask Jesus to show you where you're being driven by it, because if he shows it to you, it's not for condemnation, it's for freedom. So don't feel guilty. Go, oh, he's inviting me into freedom. I don't have to do that. I'm not tied to it. I'm not dragging that dead body of sin anymore. I'm actually a new creation acting like that. So it's easy to get rid of these things. Default. If we haven't been living into God's purpose and call on our life, I promise you something has filled the void. Mm-hmm. figure out what just filled in because there is a vacuum by default, and stop. Just stop and go, okay, God, what are you calling me to do? You could literally clear your schedule if you wanted to, and then choose what you want to do, driven by your joyful relationship with Jesus and the gifts that are inside of you. Unworthiness, this is something to get healing in. We all carry this idea, this bit of unworthiness, and it can creep its ugly head up. It's rooted in fear, shame, and anger. And so those are things that we need to let the Lord love on us. Let him love on you. It's his love that will free you from this. These things cannot stay around for very long when you're letting him love you. Okay, I'm going to pray for us, and so good to see everyone. Lord, we love you, and I feel such an urgency from you on that this is really near and dear to your heart. Like, it's not something to do later when our lives calm down. But today is a day that you're calling us into an evaluation that's led by you. And so, Lord, today I ask that you would teach us to, in a powerful way, let our yes be yes, the one that actually rings true with the yes that's inside of us and the yes that's from your spirit. And would you let our no be no to the things that deep inside of us need to be a no, that your spirit is affirming need to be a no. And the things that are just a maybe and maybe for another season, would you make those really clear to us as well so that we don't spend time spinning? You tell us to make the most of our days and that each is a gift and that we don't know how many we have. So there's not pressure in that, there's freedom. Thank you that time is a gift. It's not our master. So any way that we have made time our master, we just say no to that together, and we say yes to time being a gift and a servant. A servant for your purposes to be accomplished in our lives so that the world will know that you sent Jesus and that you love us with a crazy, radical, good, joy-filled, life-filled love that no one would say no to because it's that good. We love you and we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Case.
Anybody needs prayer? Anybody?
Yes. If anybody